I can still remember the exact moment when my friend Jim told me that my family was mad. We were strolling past the tennis courts in Alexandra Park after another rather tedious day in school and talking earnestly about our future, about making a lot of money, buying a big car, marrying Jane Russell, living in the South, having lots of records and a silver cigarette case. "Well, you'll find it more difficult than me," I said consolingly, "because you come from a broken home." "I don't," said Jim. "But your mother's dead," I reminded him. "There's only you and your dad. It's a broken home." "That doesn't mean it's a broken home," said Jim. "In any case, I'd rather come from my home than yours. Your family's completely mad. What about the way your dad spends all his time in the outside shed? What about the way your sister's always screaming? And what about your mum and dad never speaking to each other? And the day your dad shouted up the stairs that he never wanted any children and you shouted down that you never wanted to be born anyway? That's pretty mad. I wonder, you know, if there's a moment in all our childhood lives when we realise that we are living in a normal or in an abnormal family, when we thank God for our parents or reckon that life would have been better for everyone if they'd left each other years ago. Questions prompted by a new research report prepared for the British Academy called Happy Families? History and Family Policy. And its author is Pat Thane, and she's Professor of Contemporary History at King's College London. She's now with me. Pat, that question mark, first of all, why the question mark after Happy Families?
Well, because people so often do seem to assume that in the past, throughout the past, most people lived in stable two-parent families, which were happy, which was obviously your assumption, and your very smart friend. Yeah. Obviously, Rosie, it wasn't true even then, which I assume was sometime in the 1950s. But it's also assumed that this went on until the permissive 1960s, when everything fell apart and people started cohabiting and divorcing. And
it is remarkable, isn't it, the way in which this idea of the family breaking up goes on, the way in which it recurs. Let's just listen to one example. Here's a statement in which we hear a complaint about the decline of the traditional family.
"The fundamental nature and purpose of marriage has been lost in a struggle for equality and social justice, in isolation from the biological and domestic context in which, in its natural setting, the institution of marriage occurs. The bureaucratic welfare state is too large and too impersonal to inculcate that instinctive loyalty which binds together members of the family in a sense of common duty to each other, and to the society of which they are an integral part. This crucial ethical factor is largely inoperative in modern society."
Segment 1.
I can still remember the exact moment when my friend Jim told me that my family was mad. We were strolling past the tennis courts in Alexandra Park after another rather tedious day in school and talking earnestly about our future, about making a lot of money, buying a big car, marrying Jane Russell, living in the South, having lots of records and a silver cigarette case. "Well, you'll find it more difficult than me," I said consolingly, "because you come from a broken home." "I don't," said Jim. "But your mother's dead," I reminded him. "There's only you and your dad. It's a broken home." "That doesn't mean it's a broken home," said Jim. "In any case, I'd rather come from my home than yours. Your family's completely mad. What about the way your dad spends all his time in the outside shed? What about the way your sister's always screaming? And what about your mum and dad never speaking to each other? And the day your dad shouted up the stairs that he never wanted any children and you shouted down that you never wanted to be born anyway? That's pretty mad."
Segment 2.
I wonder, you know, if there's a moment in all our childhood lives when we realise that we are living in a normal or in an abnormal family, when we thank God for our parents or reckon that life would have been better for everyone if they'd left each other years ago. Questions prompted by a new research report prepared for the British Academy called Happy Families? History and Family Policy. And its author is Pat Thane, and she's Professor of Contemporary History at King's College London. She's now with me. Pat, that question mark, first of all, why the question mark after Happy Families?
Segment 3.
Well, because people so often do seem to assume that in the past, throughout the past, most people lived in stable two-parent families, which were happy, which was obviously your assumption, and your very smart friend. Yeah. Obviously, Rosie, it wasn't true even then, which I assume was sometime in the 1950s. But it's also assumed that this went on until the permissive 1960s, when everything fell apart and people started cohabiting and divorcing. And
it is remarkable, isn't it, the way in which this idea of the family breaking up goes on, the way in which it recurs. Let's just listen to one example. Here's a statement in which we hear a complaint about the decline of the traditional family.
Segment 4.
The fundamental nature and purpose of marriage has been lost in a struggle for equality and social justice, in isolation from the biological and domestic context in which, in its natural setting, the institution of marriage occurs. The bureaucratic welfare state is too large and too impersonal to inculcate that instinctive loyalty which binds together members of the family in a sense of common duty to each other, and to the society of which they are an integral part. This crucial ethical factor is largely inoperative in modern society.